Welcome into Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here, and we're joined by our very special guest, Daryl Tabb. Daryl, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And you were an obvious choice for us this week, especially coming from New Orleans, and I found out as we walked over here, actually, that your family's still down there,
yep.
And it's your daughter's birthday on
what?
The game day.
Yes,
wow.
Yes, sir. Yep, she'll be turning 5, so hopefully we can get this win in and celebrate with her for a little bit for back to work.
Let me ask you, so you've already been in the league 11 years before this one. You've played,
yes,
like over 160 games, right?
Yes, sir.
I guess New Orleans decided to go a different way in September, mm-hmm. but you probably knew you were going to get a call. Why are the fires still burning to play 12 years in?
This is a game that I love to play. I've been doing it since I was a little guy, and I just really enjoyed the competition about it. And each and every team presents a new challenge. I get to learn a whole new group of guys and what they bring to the table and just expand on my brothers that have in this league.
Coach said when you were signed that you're the type of player that gets called. I mean, you haven't probably been in this situation
right.
in the middle of the season before, but a player like you gets called at this time of the year if they're available because you know what you're doing.
Yes, sir.
You can step right in. Is that right?
Yes, sir. I mean, football's football. I've been in a lot of different schemes over my career. So the biggest hurdle I've had to do was just learn terminology. Mm-hmm. But I can pretty much jump in anywhere and figure that defense out pretty well and help that team out. So it's been awesome to be here so far.
Good.
And how do you feel like the process is going here of feeling prepared, feeling like you know the terminology and could get out there and contribute?
It's been good. Coach Jay and Coach Spice have been doing a great job getting me up to speed for the defensive line. All my defensive line teammates have been helping me, putting their hands on me, helping me go in the right direction. So it's been working out well.
When you get in the game, are you probably going to be like a designated pass rusher, right in, left in, or you don't know?
I honestly have no idea right now. Anything I need to do to help the team out, I'm all for. At this point in my career, I just want to win.
What do you see about the Bucs' defensive line and who they are and the areas that you might be able to step in and help and contribute that maybe there doesn't already have on the line?
Honestly, this is one of the better-made defensive lines I've been around. You have a Hall of Famer in Gerald McCoy. You have a lot of guys that play awesome roles, you know, Robert Ayers, Clint McDonald. Those guys step in, provide a lot of leadership. And you got a lot of young guys that learn the right way to do things. So I'm just getting here trying to add to the pack. You know, I'm probably the oldest one now. So I just continue to give them some different insight on things that I see and help us get the win.
And I feel like in terms of leadership, it's always an interesting thing because when you're new to a team but you are a veteran, how do you balance those things of how you view your role in
right.
the locker room of do I speak up because I'm a vet or do I hold my tongue because I'm new?
It's a little bit hard. I think the first week I sat back and learned how the team operated, how it operated in the meeting rooms. But this week I've been speaking up a lot more just about things I see. And, of course, we're playing the Saints, so I have some familiarity with them.
Right.
But it's one of those things. You don't want to step on too many toes or try to tickle the room or anything like that. But you just want to fit in with the rest of the guys.
Everybody on this team wants to be in the playoffs so badly.
Yes, sir.
And you've been in, what, maybe 4 times?
Yes, sir.
It's an experience like no other, right?
It's hard to get in, man.
Yeah.
Once you finally get in, like you said, it's a unique experience. You know you're finally into the tournament and playing for the big goal. So we have our nose to the grinder here. Every day we're working to get better, trying to stack these wins, and we got to start now.
What was the most satisfying part of your career? You've been in Seattle and Philly and
right.
Washington, is there, Detroit, all those places?
Yes, sir. Well, the NFL is weird. It's a kind of who you know kind of kind of business.
Huh.
So coming out of Detroit Lions year, I was waiting for my next opportunity, and it came from the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Went through the whole kind of roster. And I literally had no tie to that
wow.
team. No, every
okay.
other team I know, I had a defensive line
yeah.
coach I knew or
yeah.
personnel, somebody, but I had no tie to the Saints. So
yeah.
that was my first time stepping to a situation and actually feeling like I was back in high school and having to prove myself completely.
That.
So
yeah.
it was completely different. Here is not as extreme. No, I knew Coach Hayes. He worked me out at my pro day way back when in 06
wow.
at Virginia
yeah.
Tech.
Yeah.
Spice, I played against him. We crossed overlap. He played
right,
and he retired in 09. I came in the league in 06.
Right.
And, of course, I knew a lot of the guys here. But the Saints, I literally knew nobody from coaches to players. So it was a cool experience having to go in there, really depend on myself to learn the playbook and go out there and just make plays.
What's the mood of the team right here? Nobody's happy with 4 straight losses. But hey, you guys don't seem like it's weighing on you that heavily.
Not at all. Like I said, this is one of the more well-built teams here. I mean, they got the right 53 guys here. They understand that things – we're in a situation because of a few plays here and there. It's not like we're going out there and just laying eggs. With that said, we know we had to correct that. We have a sense of urgency about us, and that's been refreshing because when you have a group that's been in some turmoil,
mm-hmm.
I've seen teams that shut it down. But this
yeah.
is not the same thing
that's
at all.
That's good to hear.
And looking at the Saints, obviously you're going to be more familiar with them than almost anyone
right.
on this team. So, but people have talked about how different – their offense seems in some ways this year from years past. So what have you seen this year, and what did you see last year to kind of give some insight on what that Saints offense could look like on Sunday?
I think last year it was more thrower-friendly. I mean, you have a Hall of Famer in Drew Brees commanding the ship. The running game was doing pretty well, but they leaned heavily on the pass. This year, it seems like they're more balanced. Mm-hmm. Drew still being Drew back there, but Mark Ingram really turned the corner, becoming a professional, hitting his reads. The guy they brought in, Alvin Kamara, rookie from Tennessee. He has a lot of juice.
Yeah.
And they're just playing with confidence. I mean, winning five straight games does that to a team. So it's going to be a huge challenge for us. But with that said, you know, when I was a member of the Saints last year, went 1-1. Against the Bucks. The Bucks know how to win this game, and I'm happy to be on this side.
They've been throwing a lot of screen passes to those guys.
They have.
And doing it well. And I always wonder what it feels like when you're a defender, especially probably a defensive lineman, and you get this great, feels like a great pass rush, and then you realize it's a screen, and you got to turn and go the other way.
Yes,
what's
sir.
That feel like?
Just like you said, you're like, oh, I got it with a good sack.
Oh,
no, don't have it.
So it happens, man, but this is the upper echelon of playing football, the best of the best out there on Sunday, and you got to make sure you're always prepared and always put your best foot forward.
What's your impressions of Lavonte David? Because he just seems like this, like the ultimate professional.
He is. Competitor.
Yeah.
Competitor, communicator, playmaker, energetic, smart, intense. I mean, I can say so much about that guy, and just knowing him over the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I always admired him from afar, but having him line up behind us, direct the D-line where we need to go. It's been great this week.
How about Jameis whenever you were, you know, playing against him last year? I'm sure you watched him in college as well. And so what was your idea from the outside of Jameis and now from the inside of the building?
I thought he was just a playmaker, but I didn't realize how genuine he was. Now, he was one of the first guys that spoke to me even before I got signed when I was in the training room getting checked out. Just a genuine guy. He still learned the game, but he has so much ability. And I know he's going to continue to get better and better.
I think that's one of the things we all feel about him, that is the big disconnect between when you're around him all the time and people that don't, not everybody realizes how genuine all the stuff that he says
is.
You think that he can't be like that all the time, and then you find out that he
100%.
Is. 100%. How about Gerald McCoy and the same thing of watching him? I'm sure you watch a bunch of defensive linemen around the league and figure out who you admire and want to be like, and then the same thing of now that you're lining up with him, what are the impressions that you've gotten of him as well?
He commands so much attention out there. I mean, he's in the upper echelon of guys, you know, the Ndamukong Suhs, the Cameron Wakes, those guys, you know, he's that guy. He's going to be a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. So having an opportunity to line up with him, to stop the run and to rush the passer, it's been fun, man. That's when you have a real good defense. You have those dominant kind of guys at each level of your defense, and he's one of the best out there.
You had, I don't remember the exact number, but something like 40 sacks. But also, in your very first year, you had a pick six.
Yes.
First of all, was that on the screen? It was Jay Cutler?
It was Jay Cutler.
Wow.
Yes, sir. Jay Cutler on a Sunday night. John Madden put me on the
screen. Oh,
like right as before it happened?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so it was pretty cool. We had my VHS, so I can show it to you.
That's how you know you've been in the league a long time. All these like rookies on the Bucks right now would be like, what is that?
Well, hey, Jay Cutler's coming up a couple weeks on the schedule.
Yes, sir.
Maybe you can reintroduce
Recreate
yourself.
Recreate it. And then we can have it on, you know, a DVD
tell us what Madden said. What kind of play was it?
So it actually was a bootleg rollout to the left. He threw it, one of the guys tipped it up. And Julian Peterson, who was our linebacker at the point in time,
I remember him.
Sitting under it. And I saw from the other side, made a beeline.
Took it away from him.
40
you
yards,
robbed him.
40 yards down the field.
That's almost like a double interception. Intercepted Keller and your teammate all at the same time.
And you know what is? It doesn't ever amaze me at all when guys can remember every specific of a big play from like 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Because that stuff just sticks with you. You couldn't forget it if you wanted to.
It does. And I told the guys now, I say, enjoy, man. Enjoy these days. Get to wear pads and go to the workouts and live. Because one day it's going to be all gone. And all you're going to have is these memories. So really, you know, enjoy the moment. Don't worry too much about tomorrow or next year or next game. Worry about right now in the moment.
Yeah.
That's how you felt when the Bucks called, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I love it. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Good luck this Sunday. Wish your daughter happy birthday from all of us. We still have two more segments coming up. One of those is getting to your Twitter questions. Use that hashtag BucksLive, and we'll be right back.
I don't know nobody's going to let another man walk in their house and take something from them. So take that to heart. This is personal to me.
We call this the jungle, man. It's our house today, man. That'd be great, man. That'd be great. Let's go. Get it in, man.
Be legendary today. Don't forget, this is our house. This is our house.
takes the snap, looks to his right, look, crossing route, throw, caught ball, touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hit the backdrop. It's a Lavonte David quarterback sack, his second of the game.
Let's make it count. We're past the 50, okay?
Big Weston looking. James going to run to the left of the 10. He throws to the inside. Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Attack, technique, and takeaways. Got it?
It's picked off. Intercepted to the 30, to the 25, to the 20. Quan Alexander will take it to the house. Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Welcome back to Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. We're still going to have another segment after this one, getting to your Twitter questions. So you can keep sending those in. Use that hashtag BucksLive. We just had Daryl Tapp on with us before, who came from the Saints. And what a great guy and some great insight, not only just on the Saints, but the league and everything. Yeah. And you can tell he just genuinely loves football and loves to be here and is just so happy.
That was one of my first questions. I mean, 12 years in the league, more than 160 games. You couldn't blame anybody for when the Saints – he played in the Saints last year, and then he got cut at the beginning of this year, and then they signed him again, and they cut him again in September, and you couldn't blame anybody who said, yeah, that's plenty.
That's good. Yeah, I'm good.
I'm good. I got a couple small children, and, but he clearly still loves the experience.
Yeah, which is huge.
And he's sharing that with his young teammates.
And I've heard that that's a big part of bringing him in, is he's one of those great locker room guys like that. That infectious love of the game is something that you need when you're in this situation where the record is not what you wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. That love of football is really, I think, the thing that can help have that resurgence of making those plays. And I remember, you know, after, I don't think it was this last game, but maybe two games ago, Quan and a couple guys talked about, you know, we just need to get back to having fun out there. That I think when you start losing a few times, you lose that joy of it, and it just becomes more of the pressure of needing a win.
Well, that's probably not easy to do, though.
Yeah, I mean,
because
if
you're on a losing streak, you're trying to break, and something goes wrong early in the game, then those feelings come back.
Exactly.
Oh, here we go again.
Yeah, the playing not to lose instead of playing to win, which can be challenging. So
tough to overcome.
Obviously, and this is going to be a very tough game to get back on track, that this is a new and improved almost Saints team without having to be all that new. It's fascinating. A couple new pieces and change in how they do things, and they just seem to have a whole resurgence going on down there. So tell us a little bit. I mean, he detailed it a little bit on offense, but we'll talk about it as well, of what you see from their offense, what's different, and what the Bucs are going to need to do.
Yeah, I know that the Buccaneers are surely not going to just assume that Drew Brees isn't going to throw the ball downfield anymore. I'm sure, but he is in his 17th year, and one would just assume as you get that far into an obvious Hall of Fame career, maybe it makes sense that they've gone to a little less vertical of a passing game. And just, it looks to me, we talked to Joel from New Orleans, the advocate for the Pewter panel. And he said he didn't really know for sure. He couldn't tell yet if it was an organizational philosophy, but it kind of looks like it just from the evidence, you know, the assets they keep putting into the offensive line, trading a future picks to get Alvin Kamara. They actually brought in Adrian Peterson. It didn't last because they ended up not needing him because of how good Ingram and Kamara have been. It just, you know, they traded Brandon Cooks.
Right, yeah. I was sitting there going, did I miss something?
That would be a bad idea. It looks like they are making an effort to have a more balanced offense. Mm-hmm. Maybe that makes sense in the latter part of Drew Brees' career, but they still do a lot of the same things just as well, starting with the fact that they have always done a phenomenal job of protecting him. He's only been sacked 7 times all year, And that's very common. Those are normal numbers, partly because he's so good at helping them by getting rid of the ball quickly. But yeah, I think you'll see a lot of screens and other types of passes, not just screens, but corner routes and things like that to those two running backs. And that's kind of – it's different and it's not in that since the Saints have been good since 2006, there have been these years – like the Super Bowl year, where they've had a nice pair of running backs, like a Darren Sproles and a Pierre, or Pierre Thomas, or Deuce McAllister and Reggie Bush, that kind of thing. This is just another one like that. But the factor that ties them all together is that at least one of those two running backs, and sometimes both, are very good pass catchers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting point. Yeah, you pointed that out in your scouting report about how it's the highest amount. A percentage of running plays since the Super Bowl year, which obviously has to have us going, oh,
great!
Darn.
So
glad you got this figured out right now. Good for you.
Right, their percentage of running plays out of which is about 43.5% is really pretty close to the league average, just a little bit above. But that's a big change for them because they've been a lot. They've usually been around 36 to 37% in the last seven or eight years. But yeah, I went back and 2009 was the last year they were running this much and. It really worked.
Yeah, it did. We're going to hope that that doesn't continue working here. So flipping it on to the other side of things, you know, like we've said, Drew Brees has always been Drew Brees, and maybe they're tweaking some things about the running plays, but their offense has always been pretty prolific. It was the defense that seemed to be holding them back in recent years, and 100%. All of a sudden, that's not the case anymore. What's happened to them on defense where they've got it turned around?
Yeah, to put it plainly, in most of the last 5 or 6 years, their defense has just been terrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, not yards, points, near the bottom, at the bottom almost every year. They had 1 year where they had a big resurgence, and they were like fifth in the league, and I think that was a Rex Ryan year or a Rob Ryan year, and they had all kinds of turnovers, and that maybe masked some deficiencies. I think they are better this year, clearly a better defense. Marshon Lattimore is helping quite a bit. They're getting more pass rush from the end opposite Cameron Jordan from guys like Alex Okafor and a bunch of other guys. But I still think there's a little bit of that. They're giving up a lot of yards. They're about 20th in the league in yards, but they're so good at taking the ball away and sacking the quarterback that they're causing a lot of those drives to die out early, and that's exactly what has been the problem for the Buccaneers offense, right?
Right.
Last week against Carolina, 3 points, which is terrible, but 6 of 12 drives reached somewhere around the 40 or the 30 of the Panthers, and then they all just stalled there due to sacks or turnovers or penalties. And so that's where this battle is going to be won or lost in this game. I think the Buccaneers will be able to move the ball. I think when they get in Saints territory, and that's where the Saints have been better, the Buccaneers have been worse. That has to flip around. That's the big improvement we need to see for this offense to go from putting up a lot of yards, still fourth in the league in yards, to putting up a lot of points.
Right, that's very true. And then obviously we haven't gotten the final injury report yet for today, but feels like we have some good news that we've seen throughout the week in terms of who is going to be available, especially defensively.
Yeah, well, the good news on Josh Robinson and Robert McClain is that they both cleared the concussion protocol yesterday. So like you said, we haven't seen an injury report, but I believe the way that works is they would probably be taken off the injury report this week because they're practicing fully, they're out of the concussion protocol, so there's no reason for them to even be on it. We haven't seen it yet, but it's probably going to be something like that. And then Jameis Winston has been fine. He's thrown all 3 days, which is a big step forward from last week. We have not seen Brent Grimes on the practice field, but we have seen Adam Humphries the last 2 days. So there's probably more good than bad in terms of development on the injury report this week.
Yeah, that's huge. And we still don't know a whole lot about Brent Grimes, but at least knowing that you do have Robert McClain back, and that will definitely help. And what have we seen from, you know, Vernon Hargraves obviously had one of his better games in a long time this last week. So if you're without Brent Grimes, what do you think as far as the Robert McClain, Vernon Hargraves?
That's going to be an interesting question. We're not going to be able to answer it because Coach Cutter specifically didn't answer that question because he didn't want to give anything strategically away. So that remains an interesting thing to find out at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Do they go back to Hargraves on the outside and McClain in the slot, which is what they did for the first six games? Five games. And then, or do they go back to what they did in Buffalo? Considering how well Hargraves played against Carolina back on the outside, I think there's certainly they could do either. And they probably feel okay about it. I asked Coach about Vernon in my interview with him this week. And he's because I wanted to get more on the point he made when he was asked about Vernon in one of these press conferences. He said the way he responded to the situation showed a lot of what type of man and player he was.
Right.
Because it was going badly, and he stood there in the locker room and said, you know, I'm not making plays. Of course, it's my fault.
Yep,
I need
to
make plays.
Yeah, that's true.
And then he immediately played a lot better. And coach said you really have to be inside Vernon Hargreaves' head to know what changed. What was his mindset before, and how did it get better? But it clearly did.
Right.
And you can tell Coach Cutter appreciates it. So if that's the moment where this season turned around for Vernon, it wouldn't surprise me, and it would be a big step for the Buccaneer defense.
Okay. All right. We still have one more segment coming up, which is getting to your Twitter questions. Keep sending those in. Use that hashtag BucksLive, and we'll be right back.
Hey. Tampa Bay, the Bucks know how to shine.
Hey, hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucks know how to shine.
Give a cheer for the Buccaneers. Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Hey, hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucks know how to shine.
Hey, hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucks know how to shine. Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Go Bucks!
Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Stand up.
Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Go Bucks!
Because we know we're on the top.
We stand up.
Welcome back to Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. Time to get to your Twitter questions. You can keep sending those in. Use that hashtag BucksLive. All right, our first one says, how much do you think you rely on the defense versus the offense this game, especially knowing that the Superdome can be a challenging place for an offense to get things done?
Well, the history of our, or at least the recent history of our games in the Superdome have been more along the lines of shootouts. For some reason, when the Bucs and Saints play here in Tampa, it's a lower scoring game, and when we play in the Superdome, it's a higher scoring game. And in the last five times we played them, there's been an average combined score of 52 points in those games. One of those games was a blowout win for the Saints, but the rest of them were all very close. And so, and scores like, I remember one was an overtime game like 37-30 or something like that. I mean, just games where you have to keep up. You know, and so that's what I think that's what's going to happen in this one. It'd be hard to say we're going to hold Drew Brees and that offense to, 10 points or something.
Right.
I think the Buccaneers will probably have to score 27 or 30 points, which they're obviously perfectly capable of doing. Of course, the expectations we've taken into a lot of games this year have not borne out.
Right.
But that's not to say, that means it's all on the defense. It's just going to have to be a better example of what they've been saying all year, which is complimentary football.
Right. That's very true. Joey wants to know which one of the position groups is going to be most responsible for keeping their running backs in check when they both run and pass catch so well.
Yeah. I tried to ask a couple guys in the locker room specifically about on screen passes, like what position is the one that is expected to be the free runner in there? I mean, your screen, you try to get a bunch of blockers out, throw a short pass, and have him be able to work through those blockers, and they get as many defenders as possible, right? But
right.
Somebody's eventually going to come free. Everybody was being very generic with the answers, which I understand. They're not going to give away specific strategy, but, they said, for one thing, you got to try to get as many people to the ball as possible. So as soon as you see that screen, it's like everybody has to attack. But I think probably it's pretty fair to say it'll be the linebackers. On a screen pass, generally you're throwing over the defensive lineman, and the corners are right there where all the new blockers are, so they're the ones they're trying to block. And a cornerback trying to get around these bigger guys that are coming out on a screen is a little tougher. So I think you're probably going to be relying on Levante David and Quan Alexander, who are very good at shooting in the gaps between blockers.
Right.
And
right.
Fortunately, we do have two very good linebackers for that sort of play. So I hope that we win the screen battle.
Yes, that's very true. Adam wants to know, do you still see them considering shutting Jameis down depending on how the shoulder seems to do on Sunday?
It seems to be the exact opposite right? Mm-hmm. And Coach has said this all along. I think he sometimes gets frustrated having to say it over and over again.
Right.
If there was something wrong with James's shoulder that prevented him from playing, or if there was any chance that playing again would make it worse, other than just the general chance of getting hurt in any game, then he wouldn't be out there. It's simply a medical question. Now, he also said along those times, like, if we don't like having to do this method of practice where he doesn't throw on Wednesday and Thursday, it's not ideal, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get a player to Sunday. But he was saying all along the time, he's like, I don't think we're going to have to be worrying that for the whole season, and maybe not much longer. So I think what he was trying to signal to everybody was like, you're making a big deal out of this, okay, but it's not going to be much of an issue for very much longer. And sure enough, this week, Jameis has thrown in all three practices, so I don't really see why we'd be going in the other direction.
Right. That makes sense. Carl wanted to know, does it seem like other teams have been a little bit more prepared to play, like Arizona and Minnesota and Carolina?
Well, it's hard to quantify that. I mean, the results would suggest that could be part of it.
Right.
But what you're asking me to say there is, did the Arizona coaching staff do a better job than our coaching staff? That would be something that I would rather they answer. Because I don't think you can quantify it.
Right.
You know, and sometimes the preparation can be fine and the execution can be bad. So you really don't know.
Right. Yeah. That's very true.
But I mean, I do think players after the Arizona game made a point of saying, and Dirk did too, we got to be ready for, we got to come out stronger than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody from the players to the coaches felt like, in terms of preparation, to be ready to go and to start a game and not be, you know, not get in a hole and not be, you know, too sluggish to start the game, that has to change. So if you want to make it a full team thing, then I think the players and coaches did admit after the Arizona game that they weren't ready. So sure, they weren't as prepared.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Jordan wants to know, if the game Sunday doesn't go our way, is that pretty much the season? Putting you in a rough position there, aren't they?
Well, okay. Take it objectively. 2-6, 4 games behind first place, already having lost to that first place team and having lost to 0-2 in the division already. That's about as deep a hole as you could possibly imagine a team climbing out from. So if you're 2-6, the best you can be is 10-6, but that would require running the table, right?
Right.
The important thing to note here is that we can all do this. We could have done this last week when we were 2-4 and counted up wins and losses. The coaches and players don't approach it that way because they can't. They have to just say, what can we do to win this one to put us up in a better position? Then we'll see where we are next week.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I throw that part in there is if – obviously, it's possible the Bucks will lose on Sunday. If that happens, nobody here is going to give up.
Right.
So, but you can do your own math and see if you think it's very possible.
Right. Anthony wants to know, why have our offensive drives stalled more in the red zone?
Well, actually, it's stalled more on the edge of the red zone, around the 30. And the Buccaneers' red zone percentage is not bad. They were shooting for a goal of 60%. I think they're at about 58%, and they're at about maybe ninth in the league. That means touchdowns, percentage of drives in the red zone that end up in a touchdown. So inside the 20, inside the 10, the Buccaneers actually haven't been bad. It's getting from about the 40 to the 20 that has been our problem and was particularly a problem in Carolina. And I did a story where I broke down each of those 6 drives that went into Carolina territory, and every single time it'd be Buccaneers get a first down at, say, the 36, and the very next thing was holding penalty.
Right.
Or fumble.
Mm-hmm.
Or a holding penalty negates. This was a big one. First and 10 at about, I don't remember, maybe the 40, one of the first times we got in there. Really nice pass to Mike Evans for 19 yards. Comes back in a holding penalty. So then you would have been in the red zone. Instead,
right,
you're out of field goal range. And if you're unable to overcome that holding penalty, then you're punting from about the 40.
Yeah, that's a much
more. So it's just been one particular mistake, like a hold or a fumble or just a drop pass or something when we get to the 40 that's keeping us from getting to the 20.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Our last one here is that Matthew said he heard a stat that shows that our opening drives are not nearly as effective as a lot of our later in the game drives. Yeah. Why is that?
Well, I don't think I can answer that because Coach Monk in the offensive coordinator was asked something very similar, and he said, yeah, of course we would like to have those completions we're getting later earlier, but believe me, we're calling the plays we think are the best. They're not working. they haven't worked, but we're calling what we think are the best plays. So they've tried everything, including hurry up and everything, and it's just a matter of execution.
Okay. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us on this edition of Buccaneers Insider Live presented by Miller Lite. We'll see you 75 minutes before kickoff on Sunday from New Orleans live from the field. Have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll see you then.